Well, we're going to jump in at verse 44. Verse 44, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end, but it will itself endure forever. Well, the question this afternoon is, how do you make sense of this world that we live in? How do you understand the times? Who would have thought 6 years ago that when a street vendor in Tunisia set himself on fire, that he would provoke an uprising across the whole of North Africa and the Middle East that became known as the Arab Spring? Who could have predicted that with their crystal balls or their algorithms? Nobody could have done. Who would have predicted that in 2016, Assad's Syria would be torn in half by civil war, that a self-proclaimed caliphate would be established and it would be drawing and attracting families and children from this country and from every country in the world in its brutal, brutal agenda? How do we understand the times that we live in? Because as President Gorbachev, the former Soviet president, said, those who do not understand the times will be punished by history. So how do we understand these times? Well, one man who learns to understand the times that he lives in is Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. And if you were here last week, you would have seen him, you'd have been introduced to him, the ruler of Babylon, who in 605, in the first of three raids, sweeps into Judah, invades Jerusalem, its capital city, plunders its temple, carries all the goods back to Babylon, 500 miles away, and among his trophies are four young men, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, young teenagers, forced to undergo re-education to serve him as their new Babylonian king. And to all intents and purposes, it looks as if his star is on the rise. Nebuchadnezzar, if you want to understand the times, he seems to be unstoppable. But then one night he has a dream, and it's a dream that disturbs him deeply. And it's not just that he's fallen asleep with the radio on or has eaten too much cheese before he goes to bed or anything like that. It's a dream from heaven, and it concerns the future, and nobody can help him. A mystery that no man can reveal. So Nebuchadnezzar gets all his wise men together in the middle of the night. There they are in their dressing gowns and slippers, shivering away. And they really start shaking when they hear Nebuchadnezzar's command to them. Verse 3, tell me what I have dreamed. I've had a dream that troubles me. I want to know what it means. And just so that I know you have the credentials, don't just tell me what the dream means. First of all, tell me what I dreamed. Tell me what I dreamed. During the night, well, verse 10, there's no one on earth who can do what the king asks, they say. No king, however great and mighty, has ever asked such a thing. What the king asks is too difficult. No one can reveal it to the king except the gods, and they do not live among humans. So the king sharpens his knives, and the order goes out to put all the so-called wise men to death, among them these four Hebrews, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Because here is a mystery that no man can reveal. No one can know the future except the gods, and they don't live among men. So as we heard, Daniel asks for time. He prays with his friends, and in the middle of the night, the revealer of mysteries, the Lord of heaven, the King of kings, tells Daniel what Nebuchadnezzar dreamed and gives him the interpretation. And what we see here in Daniel chapter 2, astonishingly, is 600 years worth of history yet to happen being laid out. And if you're not a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ today, I think that's something to think about. Daniel here tells us what will happen for the next six centuries, and we can see that what he said would happen has happened. 2,000 years ago, God did come and live among humans. You remember at Christmas a few weeks ago, the Son of God was born as a baby in the time of Caesar Augustus, and he promised that if we put our trust in him, as Daniel did, he and his Father will make their home among us, and he will reveal history and the meaning of life to us. But apart from him, this is a mystery no man can reveal. And it concerns, as Daniel explains this dream, a downfall no empire can escape. So Daniel goes in with the answer now and goes in to see the king and tells the king, Nebuchadnezzar, what he has dreamt. This great statue head of gold, chest of silver, belly and thighs of bronze, legs of iron, feet of iron and clay. And he says, Nebuchadnezzar, you are that head of gold. This statue of four metals represents four great empires, and you are the head of gold. And after you will come another, the chest of silver. And after that, a third, the belly of bronze. And these two are identified for us, named, predicted in Daniel chapter 8 as the Medo-Persian Empire and the Greek Empire, centuries before they came to be. Each kingdom less glorious than the one before. And finally, the fourth, the legs of iron, the Roman Empire we see in the New Testament. So Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome. Why these four? You haven't come here for a history lesson this afternoon. So why does the Bible record these four? Well, because I think they set out history from the time that Daniel is living in there in Babylon until the time of Christ's coming. This is the history of God's people until the time of the Messiah, as they look forward to his coming. Kingdoms will rise and fall, but Christ's kingdom will come. And yet these four also seem to stand for all the kingdoms of the world. Four in the Bible seems to represent all of creation, the four points of the compass, the four winds, the four living creatures. So all the kingdoms of the world are pictured here in this statue. Mighty in appearance, in the end, every kingdom is proved to be as flimsy as a house of cards. So Babylon falls in a night. Rome, the eternal city, falls in a day. You know, a revolution or a coup can happen, and the landscape has changed. The lights go out on every empire sooner or later. But whether or not they collapse or simply fade away, the message of Daniel 2 is that they make way because ultimately there is another king, Jesus of Nazareth. He sets up kings. He deposes others. He's the one who rules this world. Now, we might find that very hard to understand and to believe. How can we believe that Jesus of Nazareth is in the loving control of this world when we turn on the radio this morning and we hear about what's happened in other parts of the world, the bombings, the shootings in Jakarta or in the Middle East? Or when some other tyrant forces millions to live in fear. And yet, because he predicts these kingdoms and he writes their obituary, we know that he is the one who rules all of history. He directs this world. So how do we understand the times? Well, it is a mystery no man can reveal. Concerning a downfall, no empire can escape. But at the heart of it, and as we come to an end, at its very heart is a kingdom no power can resist. Because Daniel goes on to complete the explanation of this great dream. In the mid-1990s, I spent a year in China teaching English in a city in the south of China. And there in that city was a church that was illegal, according to the communist authorities, because this church refused to register with them and so come under its control. But the most remarkable thing about this church in the city was where it met. It met upstairs above a police station. Did the police really understand what was going on above their heads, I wonder? Well, in 1990, the church was raided, the Bibles were confiscated, the building was shut down. But within a few months, rain had washed away the poster that had forbidden the church from meeting. And when the poster was washed away, the congregation crept back. Hundreds gathered. The church grew. And 2 years ago, when the minister of the church died, the newspapers around the world reported that 30,000 Christians flooded the streets of the city for his funeral service. And that is just a tiny microcosm, a miniature of what's happening in China throughout the whole country. And that in a place where on Sundays there are more Christians in church than are members of the Communist Party. Well, how do you explain that? How do you explain the times that we live in? Well, verse 34, Daniel 2, 34. Daniel says, "While you were watching Nebuchadnezzar, a rock was cut out, but not by human hands. It struck the statue on its feet of iron and clay and smashed them. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were broken to pieces and became like chaff on the threshing floor in the summer, and the wind swept them away without trace. But this rock that struck the statue became a mountain and filled the whole earth." See, if you just look at the West, or just listen to the media, you'd be forgiven for thinking that Christianity has had its day, that it has gone the way of all these empires, that you find out about it in the museums. And Christendom may be over, but Christendom should never be confused with the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is alive and reigning today. The kingdom of Christ, symbolized in this dream by a rock that becomes a mountain. See, Christ's kingdom is not just the next in a series. It's not even part of the same structure. It's a rock cut out, but not by human hands. It doesn't have our fingerprints on it at all. It's come from somewhere else, cut out of a mountain, it says. And the mountain, the prophets tell us, is heaven itself. My kingdom is not of this world, Jesus tells Pilate just before his execution. You can't color in Christ's kingdom on a map. It is his loving rule in the hearts of his followers all over the world, down the ages. It's not limited to one place. And when was it established, this kingdom? Well, in the birth, crucifixion, resurrection, ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ in the time of the Roman Empire. Divinely prepared, divinely propelled, it levels all the kingdoms of this world to dust. Takes all the space as it fills the whole earth. So to understand the times that we live in, to understand this world with all its insecurities, we have to reckon with this kingdom and with its king, Jesus. And it's a kingdom no power can resist. So in Asia today, the growth of the church is outstripping population growth 2-1. In Africa today, the number of Christians is increasing 33,000 a day. In London, we might think that all that's left is two old ladies and a dog in the Church of England, but that's not the case. The Church of England churches are growing 2.5% a year. New congregations are being planted. And if you're a Christian, that should encourage you. It's not what we hear in the media, but this is reality. Not everything we do will turn to gold. Not everything we touch for Christ will turn to gold. Maybe as we try and introduce others to him, maybe most of our conversations will go nowhere. But some of what we do for Christ will always bear fruit. Because this is the direction of history. This rock that is becoming a mountain that will fill the whole earth when Christ returns. So it's a mystery no man can reveal. It concerns a downfall no empire can escape. And at the heart is a kingdom no power can resist. So the obvious question is, are you part of that kingdom? The kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Nebuchadnezzar's response is hardly surprising. He heaps rewards on Daniel. He falls prostrate before him. This is verse 46 to the end of the chapter. Surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries and so on. But has Nebuchadnezzar really been converted? I mean, he's impressed with what he's heard. But the Lord is still only your God, a great God, perhaps the greatest God, but not the only God, and certainly not yet my God. He has to wait till Daniel chapter 4 for that. On the other hand, as we finish, I love the story of George Dej, who was another tyrant. He was prime minister of Romania, communist Romania, for 20 years. Richard Wurmbrand, who suffered greatly for his faith under the communist dictatorship, wrote an account of the suffering church in Romania in Tortured for Christ. And this is what he says. In Romania, he says, we were an underground church, but we spoke openly to both people and rulers about Christ. Once, on the steps of one of our government buildings, two Christian brothers pushed their way to our prime minister, George Dej. In the few moments they had, they witnessed to him about Christ, urging him to turn from his sins and persecution. He had them thrown into prison for their daring witness. But years later, when Prime Minister Dej was very sick, the seed of the gospel these two had planted bore fruit. And in his hour of need, he remembered the words of these two Christians, along with the testimony of his Christian cleaner, who led him to faith in Jesus Christ. And when he died as a follower of the Lord Jesus. And Christ's kingdom in communist Romania had grown by one more. Well, there's no wisdom in leaving it that late. Till the deathbed. Are you a part of that kingdom? Do you know the king? Do you have confidence? You know where history is going. You know all the kingdoms of the world will rise and fall because he says so. And he has established his king who will reign forever. In the time of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, a kingdom no power can resist. Let's go back to work with that confidence in our hearts and minds, shall we? Let's pray for each other. Great God, our Father, we thank you. You are the revealer of mystery. Mysteries that all of time and history is in your hands, that you are the director. Lord, you are the central character of all of history. We thank you, many of us, that we are part of your kingdom. Lord, perhaps there are some of us here who aren't yet, and we pray that you would show yourself to us as we read your word and look at the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, Lord, as we go back to work, may we go back with that confidence that we are on the winning side because we are Christ's. And may we carry his good news to those around us. Lord, we ask for his name's sake. Amen.